We continue Bezat Hashem in our limud of Masechet Ketubot. We are up to Daf Mem Aleph, the Mishnah on the top line. This limud is Leilui Nishmat Shimon ben Simcha, Baruch ben Shlomo, Shlomo ben Reuven, Erez ben Miriam, Shaul ben Latife, Yom Tov ben Chana, Naim ben Chatun, Ladisya bat Yakot, Tzulika bat Chana, Esther bat Ladisya, Eta Rivka bat Mordechai, Rivka bat Devora, Eva Shlomit bat Ilana Esther, Chaya Esther, Chava bat Sarah, and Luba bat Mazal, Alehem HaShalom. Also, Lizchut Refuah Shelema for Esther bat Sarah, Gabriela Masuda bat Sarah, Chana bat Tzulika, and Elisheva bat Neta. This Mishnah on the top of Mem Aleph Amud Aleph is based on the rule that we learn in Masechet Bava Kama, as Rashi brings down here on Daf Ayin He. We learn from a pasuk, the din of Mode Biknas Patur. When a person admits to his own act, that usually would entail paying a fine, a knas, then he, by his own admission, does not pay the knas. Knas is not paid when one admits to it on his own. Payments that are not in the category of a knas, payments that are reimbursement, that are the amount of the damage that was created, that's not knas. And obviously, even if he admits, obviously he has to pay. But in a case of knas, mode biknas patur. And so therefore, our Mishnah says the following. Ha'omer pititi et bito shel peloni. One who says, I admit, I was mefate, I seduced the daughter of so-and-so. So there are a few payments in the case of pitui, as we know, right? There is the knas of chamishim shekel kesef, and there is the payment. There are the payments of boshet and pegam. So meshalem boshet uvgam al pi atzmo, the payments for the humiliation and for the degradation, one pays, even with his own admission. The en meshalem knas, but he does not pay the fine, because hamode biknas is patu. Haomer ganafti. Similarly, one who says, I stole, meshalem et hakeren al pi atzmo, ve'en meshalem tashlume kefel ve'tashlume arba'a v'chamisha. He pays the keren, the principal, which means the value of what he stole, based on his own admission, but he doesn't pay the kefel, the double payment, or the payment of arba'a v'chamisha, the four or five times that he has to pay if he stole a sheep or an ox and he slaughtered it or he sold it. Those are under the category of knas. So if he admits on his own, he's patur from that. But the keren, the principal, which is not a knas, that obviously he pays. Similarly, hemit shori et peloni o shoro shel peloni, hareze meshalem al pi atzmo. If let's say he admitted, hemit shori peloni, my ox killed so-and-so. Or, hemit shori et shoro shel peloni, my ox killed the ox of so-and-so. Hareze meshalem al pi atzmo. In this case, he pays based on his own admission, as Rashi explains, because our Tana holds kufra mamona. Over here, the payment is kofer, is a redemption, it's a ransom for one's nefesh, and therefore, in this case, it's mamona. It's not knas, it is reimbursement. So meshalem al pi atzmo. However, hemit shori avdo shel peloni, if he admits, my ox killed the slave of so-and-so, in that case, there is a knas of shloshim shekel kesef, en meshalem al pi atzmo. He does not pay based on his own admission. Ze haklal, this is the principle. Kol ha-meshalem yater al ma sheizik, whenever the payment is more than what he damaged, that means the payment is a fine, is a knas. Eno meshalem al pi atzmo. He doesn't pay based on his own admission. He only pays if it's based on the testimony of others, but if it's on his own admission, amude biknas patu. Now the Gemara begins by asking why the first line of the Mishnah, haomer pititi, why did it skip over the case of anasti, of ones, where you also have the knas? Velitni anasti. How come the Mishnah does not say even a bigger chidush, apparently, that even in the case of anasti, where he admits that he raped, he will be patu from the knas, because modeh biknas patu. How come it's not stated in the Mishnah? And says the Gemara, in fact, the other way around. Lo mibaya ka'amar. the Mishnah is using the style of, it's not necessary to say, lo mibaya anasti. It goes without saying that in the case of anasti, where he admits that he was me'anes, it goes without saying that he has to pay the boshet and pigam based on his own admission. It's only the knas that he doesn't pay. Lo mibaya anasti. Why is that going without saying? De lo kapagimla. Because, after all, by the case of saying anasti, he's not tarnishing her reputation. He's only incriminating himself. He's saying that he raped her. But he's not tarnishing her reputation. He's not pogem her. So, of course, in that case, de mishalem boshet ubgam al pi atzmo. Because there's no worry here that if you're going to take the money of pigam and boshet from him, that you are tarnishing her reputation. You are not. We can believe what he said, and therefore we take from him the boshet ubgam. He is the only one whose reputation is being tarnished. So in that case, lo mibaya, the Mishnah does not have to tell us that he pays boshet ubgam based on his own admission. Aval pititi dekapagimla. But in the case of pititi, where he says, I seduced her, in that case he is tarnishing her reputation, because he's testifying that she willingly engaged in relations with him. So maybe in that case, ema lo mishalem al piatzmo, maybe he should not pay by his own admission the boshet ubgam, meaning we shouldn't believe what he's saying in order not to tarnish her reputation. If we take the payment from her, I would think maybe it's going to ruin her reputation. Kamashma'alan, that's what the Mishnah is mechadesh to us, that by pititi, we're not concerned with that, we do accept the payment from him on his own admission of boshet ubgam. Although the knas of chamishim we do not take from him, because modebi knas patur, but the payment of boshet ubgam we do take from him. Otherwise, if the Mishnah would not have said the case of pititi, I would have thought maybe you don't take from him in order not to ruin her reputation. Whereas by anasti, the Mishnah didn't have to tell us this at all. It's pshita that you take from him the pgam and the boshet, because her reputation is not being tarnished anyway. It's a case of onus. That's why it didn't state anasti, it rather stated the case of pititi. Now the Gemara tells us, matnitin de lo ki haitana, our Mishnah that says that the mifate pays boshet ubgam based on his own admission is not like the following Tana. The Tanya, we learned in a Braita, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon. Shimon ben Yehuda says in the name of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Av boshet ubgam eno mishalem al pi atzmo. According to Rabbi Shimon, we indeed do say that the boshet ubgam payments he also doesn't pay when it's only based on his admission. Why? Lo kol hemenu shifgom bito shel peloni. He doesn't have the right to tarnish the reputation of the daughter of so-and-so just because of his confession. So therefore, we don't accept his admission at all, according to Rabbi Shimon, and he's not mishalem al pi atzmo, not only the knas, but not even the boshet ubgam. Our Mishnah clearly argues with this Tana, with the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Amar le Rav Papa le Abaye, so Rav Papa asked the question to Abaye, according to Rabbi Shimon, how about in a case, nichala ledida mai, let's say she herself agrees with the claim. She admits to the version of the events that he said, which means she also admits that it happened. So it's not just that he's tarnishing her reputation. She's okay with it. So then mai, what's the din? In that case, does he pay poshet ubgam? The whole reason you said he doesn't pay poshet ubgam because we don't accept his words, because that will tarnish her reputation. But let's say she's okay with it. So maybe in that case, we do take the payment of boshet ubgam from him when he's by his own admission. The Gemara says, well, dilma lo nichale le'avia, even if she is okay with it, maybe her father is not okay with his daughter's reputation being tarnished. So the Gemara says, nichale le'avia mai, what if the father is okay with it? Then what's the halacha? Answer is, dilma lo nichale u'livnei mishpacha. Maybe someone in the family is not okay with this, that the reputation of the family would be tarnished. Nichale u'livnei mishpacha mai. What about if the whole family is okay with it? How about in that case? Will you then take the payment of boshet ubgam from him based on his admission? Gemara says, no. Yi efshar delekachad bimdinat hayam delo nichale. Even with all the local relatives that say they're okay with it, it's impossible that there's not at least one relative in some country overseas who is not okay with this claim. And therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, even in such an extreme case, we do not take the payment of Boshet Ubgam from him in the case where he's the only one who admitted. Now the Mishnah continued and said, Ha'omer ganafti meshalem et hakerem. It said, one who admits that he stole, so he pays the keren, the principal, but he doesn't pay the kefel or the tashlume dalet vehe. Itma. So the Gemara tells us, it has been taught that there is a machloket amoraim regarding the following. Palga nizka. Palga nizka means chatzi nezek, the payment of half of the damage. Where do we have that case? That's in the case of an owner of a shor tam, that's of an ox that we didn't witness yet that he gored a person or an ox three times. He's not a shor mu'ad yet. He's still only a shor tam. He only gored once or twice. In that case, the payment that the owner has to pay is only chatzi nezek, half of the payment. That's what the Torah tells us in Parashat Mishpatim. So now the question is, what's the status of this payment? Is it mamona or is it knasa? Is it a reimbursement? Is it a payment? Or is it a fine, a knas? So palganizka, we have a machloket. Rav Papa amar palganizka mamona. Rav Huna bered Rav Yeshua amar palganizka knasa. Rav Papa says it's mamon. It's considered a payment of money. It's compensation for the damage that was caused. According to Avuna Bered Rav Yeshua, the Chatzi Nezik is considered a knas. It's a payment of a fine. And the Gemara elaborates to explain. Rav Papa Amar Palganiz Kamamona. Rav Papa's reasoning of saying that the Chatzi Nezik is begeder mamon, not a knas. Kasavar, that's because he holds Stam Shvarim Lav Becheskat Shimur Kayame. The standard ox does not have a chazakah of safety. And therefore, they are prone to cause damage. They're lav b'chizkat shimur. There's no chazakah, there's no presumptive status of safety by any ox. Ubedin hu demishalem kule. And therefore, by din, logically, really the owner should have to pay, even for the first time, should have to pay the entire damage. It's just that v'rachamana hu dechayis ilave. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who has compassion on him, because de'akati lo iyad Torah, because the ox was not yet forewarned, and therefore until three times he's not yet warned about it. So therefore, that's why the Torah said, you know what, you only have to pay chatzi nezek. But the chatzi nezek is actually a payment for the damage that the animal caused. Really, he should have paid the whole damage. But it's the Torah that's saying, you know what, you only have to pay half. It's a chesed that Hashem is doing with the owner of the ox. So therefore, that's why Rav Papa holds, palganiska is mamona. Rav Huna bered Rav Yeshua amar palganiska knasa. The reason why Rav Huna bered Rav Yeshua says that the payment of chatzi nezek is actually only a payment of a fine. It's not a compensation. Kasavar, because he holds stam shvarim bechizkat shimur kaimi. He holds really the presumptive status, the chazakah of a standard ox of a shor is bechizkat shimur. They have a chazakah of safety, that they don't just go around, you know, goring and damaging. Ubedin hu delo lishalem klal. And therefore, due to that, really the first or second time, he shouldn't have to pay at all, because it's considered like a fluke. It's considered like something out of the ordinary. It could not have been anticipated at all, and therefore he should bear no responsibility at all. However, it's the merciful one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who penalized him, who gave him a knas, in order to make sure that he will guard his ox. So therefore, what do we see? According to Avuna Bered Rav Yeshua, the Chatzi Nezek is a fine, it's not a compensation. Now the Gemara is going to begin here a series of proving one side or the other and answering the proofs. This sugya, just by the way, will take us basically till the end of the perek. It's a sugya that is found in Baba Kama. It's a Baba Kama style sugya about the din of Chatzi Nezek of Shor Tam. And you have the whole sugya there in Baba Kama Daf Tetvav, and as well also it's found in Masechet Shvuot, and here in Ketubot Mem Aleph. So the Gemara gives us first a siman of the upcoming Mishnayot that will be used as a proof one way or another. Hizik siman. Hizik ma vehemit klal. Those are four Mishnayot that we are about to deal with regarding this machloket between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. So let's begin. Tanan, we learned in a Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Baba Kama, Daf Yudalet. Three words. Hanizak vehamazik betashlumim. The Gemara understands this right now to mean Hanizak, the one who was damaged. Vehamazik, the one who damaged, the owner of the ox that damaged. Betashlumim. Both of them are sharing in the payment. So the Gemara is understanding that this is talking about the case when the shol tam is mazik and you have to pay only chatzi nezek. So by paying only half, it comes out as if they are sharing in the payment. The mazik is paying half, and then Izak is losing half, so it's like he's paying half. That's hanizak v'hamazik betashlumim. So now the Gemara asks, bishlema leman da'amar palganizka mamona. That's understood according to Rav Papa, who said that the chatzi nezek, that the palganizka, is considered a payment, is considered mamon. Haynu deshayach nizak betashlumim. So that's how I understand how we say over here that the nizak, the one who was damaged, is also sharing in the payment. Because what did we say according to Rav Papa? Really, the whole value should have been paid. But the Torah had rachmanut and only obligated him in paying half. So it's like the nizak is also sharing by losing his half of the value. Ela lemandamar palganizka knasa. But according to Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, who holds that the chatzi nezek is a knas, which means really, as we just explained, the owner of the ox did not have to pay anything. It's just the Torah that was machmir on him to pay half in order that he should guard his show. That's why it's a knas. Well then, hashta delav di deka shakil, the half that he is getting is really not even his, the nizak, right? Betashlumin ite. Now you're telling me that he shares in the payment. How is he characterized as sharing in the payment when he really doesn't deserve to get anything by logic? It's only a knas from the Torah that he even gets a half. So the words Hanizak ve'amazik betashlumim needs explanation according to Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, who holds palganizka is knasa. Answers the Gemara, lo nitzrecha ela lipchat nevela. This halacha of hamazik ve'anizak betashlumim is necessary only for pchat nevela. Pchat nevela literally means the devaluation, the going down in value of the carcass, of the nevela, of the dead body of the animal. Which means like this. How do we assess, how do we evaluate the chatzi nezek? So first what we do is, we calculate the difference between, what is the difference between the value of a living ox and the value of the dead body of an ox? Now the dead body of the ox is going down in value every day, right? So now we evaluate, we compare it on the day when the mazik, when the owner of the ox that was that nagach, that gored, when he stands trial in Bedin. On that day, let's say it was worth $50. And when it was alive, it was worth $100. Okay? So that means, what is the worth of the damage that was done? He turned it from 100 to 50. So 50 is the full amount of the damage. What's chatzi nezek? Chatzi nezek is 25. Now, the thing is, from the moment that it was killed until the time that the owner of the dead animal is going to be able to sell the dead animal, it's going to go down in value, even less than 50. So now, by the fact that he's paying, that the mazik is only going to pay 25, which is half the value of 50, really the owner is losing more than that, because the animal is going to go down in value more than 50, less than $50. It's going to become 40, let's say, become 30. So that extra 20, who loses that? On whose account is that? That's on the part of the nizak. He's the one who bears that loss, because the value of the chatzi nezek is based on the day of ha'amada bedin, on the day that he stood trial. Whatever loss goes afterwards, if it goes down in more value, that's the loss for the owner of for the nizak, the owner of the dead animal. That's what pchat nevela means. That's what it means, hamazik v'hanizak betashlumim. The mazik pays,
And then Isaac is also paying because he's bearing the loss of the value of the nevela. That's called prat nevela. So now, that's what the words Hamazik v'Anizak betashlumi means. But the Gemara asks, prat nevela, tanina. I need the Mishnah to tell me this din of prat nevela that we already learned in a braita. It's brought in Baba Kama Daf Yud Amud Bet, Tashlumei Nezek, Melamed Shabealim Mitaplim Banevela. That we learn that the Bealim, the owner of the dead animal, is Mitapel Benevela. He tends to the carcass, which means he bears the cost of its degradation, of its devaluation. So we already know that from a braita. Why would the Mishnah have to tell me Hamazik v'Anizak v'Tashlumim to allude to the din of Prat Nevela, that the Prat Nevela is on the shoulders of the Nizak? And says the Gemara, Chada betam v'chada bemuat. One of these statements is regarding the tam, that the Prat Nevela is to the Nizak, and one of these statements is regarding the shor muad, an ox that gored after three times and pays full payment. Utsricha. And both of them, each one separately, is needed to be stated. That in both cases, by Shol Muad and Shol Tam, the Prat Nevela is on the shoulders of the Nizak. De'i Ashmuinan Tam. Because if the Mishnah would only tell me this din, by Tam, so I would say, Mishum De'akate Lo Iad, since the Shol Tam was not forewarned yet, he did not gore three times. So that's why we say that the loss of the nevela is on the nizak, not on the mazik. Aval mu'ad de'iyad. But in a case of shol mu'ad where he was forewarned, so maybe in this case we should not say, eimalo, maybe we should not say that the owner of the dead carcass should bear the loss. Maybe this is something that the mazik should also pay for the prat nevela. That's why I need the chidush also by mu'ad. V'yashmoinan mu'ad. And if the Mishnah would only tell me this by din of mu'ad, mishum dekameshalem kule. After all, by shom mu'ad, he pays the full, the mazik pays the full value of the damage that was caused. So in that case, the prat nevela, he doesn't have to pay. He pays already the full value. Aval tam, but in the case of tam where he only pays chatzi nezik, he doesn't pay the full value. Eimalo, I would say maybe the prat nevela should be on his shoulders too. He should also share in the cost of the devaluation. Tzricha. That's why I need a statement separately for the case of Tam to tell me Prat Nevela is totally on the shoulders of the Nizak. Tashema, come in here. Another attempt at a proof from a Braita. It states in the Braita, Ma bin Tam le Muad. What is the difference between Shol Tam and Shol Muad? Shehata Meshalem Hatzi Nezek Migufo. By the case of the Shol Tam, the owner pays half of the damage, migufo, from its body. What does that mean? Which means the payment is only in accordance with maximum the worth of the body of the ox that gored, of the ox that was mazik. Which means the compensation for the damage can be collected only from the body of the ox that was mazik. If let's say, in other words, if the ox that gored another one was worth less than half of the damage. Which means, how could that be? If let's say an inexpensive ox killed a very expensive one, which means that the ox that gored is worth less than half of the one that was gored. So in this case, the nizak is going to receive less than half of the damage, because the maximum, the cap of how much you can collect from the owner of the Shol Tam is only according to how much the Shol Tam is worth. Let's say the Shol Tam is worth 100, and 100 is not even chatzi nezek of what was caused, because the animal that was gored was, let's say, $400. Still, the payment is only migufo. Maximum that he pays is 100. That's by Tam. Umuad mishalem nezek shalem. However, when it comes to Shol Mu'ad, when it comes to an ox that already is established as an ox that gores, Mishalem Nezek Shalem, the owner pays the full damage, Min Ha'aliyah, and he pays it from the Aliyah, from his best property, which means the value of how much the ox that gored is worth or not has no bearing, has no effect on the payment. He has to pay the full damage from his best property. That's what it says in the Braita. Okay, what's the problem? Velo katani she'atam eno mishalem al pi atzmo u'muad mishalem al pi atzmo. Now this is a question. According to Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, who says that chatzi nezek is knas, there's another difference between shol tam and shol muad. Shol tam, which is chatzi nezek, is knas, so he doesn't pay it al pi atzmo. If he admit it, he doesn't pay because modevi knas patur. And the shol, by the case of shol muad, since shol muad is compensation, it's not a knas, he would have to pay by his own admission. So this is a question on Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, who holds palga nizka knasa. If it's knasa, that means he's eno mishalem al pi atzmo. He doesn't pay by his own admission. How come this difference is not written here in this braita that is clearly telling us the differences between tam and muad? The Gemara says, Tana v'shiyer. The braita is not a proof. The Tana of the braita, he gave some differences and he omitted other differences. He didn't list all the differences between the tam and the muad. But as the Gemara always asks when the Gemara says this, the Gemara says, "My shi'er de hai shi'er." What else did he omit that you say that he omitted this? Which means it cannot be that you say all the differences except one. If there's only one more, you might as well say it. If you are omitting, then obviously you omitted a few of them. So what else was omitted here? What other difference was not listed that you tell me that therefore it also didn't list this difference of eno mishalem al pi atzmo? The Gemara says, yes, he omitted another thing. Shiel chatzi kofer. It left out another difference between the tam and the muad. By the muad, the shom muad that kills someone, he pays the value of who he killed, and that's called kofer. The shol tam that killed is patur, doesn't pay even chatzi kofer. So that's a big difference, another difference between tam and muad. Muad pays kofer, tam does not pay kofer. Oh, so therefore we can say, just like it omitted that, the din of chatzi kofer, that the tam does not pay, so too it omitted the difference of meshalem al piatzmo. The Gemara says, im mishum chatzi kofer lav shiurahu. If that's the example you're bringing me, chatzi kofer is not considered an omission of the braita, because we can always say, hamani Rabbi Yossi Aglili. This braita is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. De'amar tam meshalem chatzi kofer. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, in the case of shol tam, he does indeed pay chatzi kofer, which means just like he pays chatzi nezek, by the case when he gored and he damaged, he also pays chatzi kofer. So it's included already in what's said, what's stated in the braita. So therefore, it was not omitted. So therefore, we have here only one omission that you're telling me. How come it did not mention the din, the difference between meshalem al pi atzmo and not? The Gemara indeed stays this right here with a question. That is indeed a question on Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, who holds that palga nizka is knasa. Why is it that the Braita did not mention that difference between tam and muad, that by tam eno meshalem al pi atzmo, because modeh biknas, and by muad meshalem al pi atzmo? Tashema, come in here from our Mishnah. What does it state in our Mishnah? Hemit shori et peloni, o shoro shel peloni. If a person admitted, my shor killed so-and-so, or my shor killed the shor, the ox of so-and-so, hareze meshalem al pi atzmo. He has to pay even by his own admission. The Mishnah says, my lav betam. Should we not explain that the Mishnah is talking in a case of tam? So in a case of tam that kills, our Mishnah is holding that he does pay chatzi kofer. And it says he's meshalem the chatzi kofer al pi atzmo, by his own admission. So what do we see? That the chatzi, the half payment, is indeed a mamona. It's not knas. Or else why would he pay? Answers the Gemara, lo, bemuad. The Mishnah is not referring to a shor tam. Rather, it's referring to a shor muad. In that case, the kofer is a full payment, and the payment is compensation. It's mamona, and it's not knas. That's why he pays by his own admission. Aval betam mai. So the Gemara asks, so then in the case of tam, what would be the din? Eno meshalem al pi atzmo, that being that the half is a knas, so he would not pay by his own admission. So then, adetani seifa, instead of teaching us in the continuation of the Mishnah, When you want to make a difference and say, however, if he admits that my shov killed the eved of so-and-so, he doesn't have to pay al pi atzmo. Niflog venit ni bedida. Why don't you make a difference in the case that you were dealing with itself? Not in the case of eved. Say, in the case where you admit, where he admits that his shov killed someone, there is a difference between shov tam and shov muad. And say as follows, Bame devarim amurim bemuad. When do we say that he is meshalem al piatzmo because it's mamona? That's muad. Aval tam eno meshalem al piatzmo. But by tam, which is chatzi, that's knas. He doesn't pay al piatzmo. How come the Mishnah did not say that? Answers the Gemara, kula bemuad kamayri. The entire Mishnah is speaking about a shor muad. It's not addressing the halakha of shor tam at all. And therefore, you cannot bring any proof from our Mishnah regarding the nature of the payment of chatzi nezek or chatzi kofer. Our Mishnah is talking about shor muad. Therefore, there's no proof from our Mishnah. Tashema, come in here. Another proof from our Mishnah. What was the last line of our Mishnah? Ze hakelal, this is the principle. Kol ha-meshalem yater al ma she'izik, eno meshalem al pi atzmo. Anytime the payment is more than the actual worth of the damage that was caused, then that shows that it is a knas. Eno meshalem al pi atzmo, and if he admits, he's modevi knas and he's patur, he doesn't pay. So now let's deduce from here. Ha pachot mi ma she'izik. Mashma, if let's say the payment that one has to pay is less than the damage, mishalem al pi atzmo, you would have to pay on your own admission. So that's a question on the one who holds that chatzi nezek is knas, where a person is not mishalem al pi atzmo. It sounds like if it would be pachot, then it would be mishalem al pi atzmo. That's like Rav Papa who says that palganiska chatzi nezek is mamon. Answers the Gemara, this is not a proof. Lo teimaha pachot mima sheizik. Do not make such an inference, such a diuk, from the words of the Mishnah, kol ha-meshalem yater al ma sheizik, you make a diuk, oh, but if pachot mima sheizik, meshalem al pi atzmo. No. Ela ema, rather, you should read the braita as follows. Ha ke ma sheizik, meshalem al pi atzmo. That's the diuk you should make. When it says in the Mishnah, kol ha-meshalem yater al ma sheizik, eno meshalem al pi atzmo, when you pay more, then it's a knas. And if we don't pay by your own admission, the diuk you should make is not ha pachot. You should make a diuk ha kema sheizik, mashma, if you pay exactly according to the amount of the hezek, meshalem al pi atzmo, then we, if it's the exact amount, then it's mamon. Then it's compensation. And that's why you pay based on your admission. But if it will be pachot, it's also possible to regard it as a knas, and you would not pay by your own admission. So the Gemara asks, "Aval pachot mai eno meshalem al pi atzmo?" Is that so? If it's less than the worth, you don't pay al pi atzmo. Litni. So then it should say clearly in the Mishnah, "Ze haklal kol she'eno meshalem kema she'izik eno meshalem al pi atzmo." Say it clear. Say in the Mishnah that the rule is, anytime you don't pay the exact worth of the hezek, that's when we say eno meshalem al pi atzmo. And that would be de mashma pachot u mashma yater. It's mashma pachot. It sounds like you're talking about in the case of less, and in the case of yater, in the case of more. That in both cases, it would be knas and eno meshalem al pi atzmo. Only if you pay exactly, that's when it's mamon. That's what it should say. Why did it say it in a way of kol ha-meshalem yater? So this is a question on Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, Tiyufta. The Gemara says, in fact, this is a conclusive refutation on the opinion of Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, who held that Chatzi Nezek is a Knas. And the Gemara continues and concludes, Vehilcheta palganizka Knasa. Surprisingly, the Gemara says, and guess what? The halacha is that the payment of Chatzi Nezek is in fact a Knas. It's a fine, not Mamona. So the Gemara immediately asks, Tiyufta vehilcheta? You just said Tiyufta. You refuted conclusively the opinion of Rav Huna who said that it's a knas. And you turn around and say that the halacha is according to that opinion? Answers the Gemara, in. Yes, the halacha is according to that opinion. Why? Tamamai itotav. What's the reason that his opinion was refuted? Mishum delo katani kema sheizik. Because our Mishnah did not say ze haklal kol she'eno meshalem kema sheizik. Rather, it said kol she'eno meshalem Yoter mima sheizik. Because it didn't say kol she'eno meshalem ke ma sheizik, anyone who does not pay the exact amount of the damage, eno meshalem al pi atzmo. That's the question, that's the refutation. The answer is lo psikale. The reason why the Tana did not want to say that is because lo psikale, because it's not a clear-cut fact. Kevan de'ika chatzi nezek tzorot, because there is the case of the payment of chatzi nezek of tzorot, the payment of half damage that is caused by tzorot, by pebbles that are dispersed by an animal that's walking in its usual way. If an animal of an owner is walking derech halicha in its usual way, and from underneath its feet there are pebbles that are shooting out as is walking, and it caused hezek, the din is that you only have to pay chatzi nezek. Dehilcheta gemirila demamonahu. And we have a halacha leMoshe miSinai that the payment of chatzi nezek of tzorot is in fact a monetary payment. It's not a knas. Mishum hachi lo ketani. That's why our Tana did not want to say as a principle, as a klal, ze klal, kol she'eno meshalem kema she'izik eno meshalem al pi atzmo. Anytime you don't pay the exact amount of the damage, you don't pay al pi atzmo, meaning that it's a knas. It's not always so. The case of tzorot, where you don't pay the exact amount of the damage, and yet there is halacha leMoshe miSinai that it has the status of mamon, not knas. Therefore, that's the reason why it didn't say it in that way. So it's not a question. What we thought was a tiyufta is not such a tiyufta on Rav Huna b'Red Rav Yeshua, after all. And therefore, the halacha is like what he said, that palganiska is knas. So now, based on this psak halacha of the Gemara says, "V'hashta de'amart palganiska knasa." And now that you say that the payment of palganiska, of half of the damage, is considered a knas, ha'ikalba de'achal imre, in a case where a dog that eats a lamb, that eats a imre, is a se, v'shunra de'achil tarnegola ravreve, and let's say a case of a cat that eats big roosters. Meshunehu, this is considered an unusual damage, for which the owner is only liable to pay half of the damage. If the animal did something that is unusual, so then there is a din of chatzi nezek. Velo magbinan bebavel, and we do not collect such a payment outside of Eretz Israel in Bavel, because the payment for chatzi nezek is considered a knas, and the rule is that knasot, fines, cannot be collected, cannot be judged in Bavel, because they didn't have, the Rabbanim in Bavel did not have smicha all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore there is the rule that lo daininan knase bebavel, that in Bavel they were not done cases of knas. So now, based on the fact that you say that any time it's chatzi nezek, usually at least, it's considered a case of knas, so in the case of kalba de achil imre, shunra de achil tarnigole ravreve, which is meshune means it's abnormal. When it's abnormal, it's a din of chatzi knas, lo magbinan bebavel. Aval zutre urchehu umagbinan. But if the cat ate small roosters, that's something that could be considered urchehu. It's a usual thing. And therefore, that could be collected in Bavel, because it's a payment, it's not knas, it's a payment of mamona. Therefore, umagminan, we do collect it in Bavel. The itafas lo mapkinan mine. The Gemara says, however, in the cases of knasod, even though we say that in Bavel we do not, we're not done the cases of knas, we don't collect knasod, but the itafas, if the nizak seized property from the mazik in the amount of the fine, so lo mapkinan mine, even in Bavel, we do not repossess it from him, because according to the halakha, he is entitled to that payment. It's just that in Bavel, we're not legally with the jurisdiction to be able to collect it. But if he already took it for himself, we don't repossess it from him. That's itafas lo mapkinan mine. Ve'hi amar akbeu li zimna le'eretz Yisrael. And if the Nizak says, can you please set me a time to go to Bedin in Eretz Yisrael, where they do judge the cases of Knasot, makbi'inan le, we accommodate him, we set a time for him in a Bedin in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'ilo azil, And if the other one, meaning the mazik, if he doesn't go to Eretz Yisrael as demanded, we put him in nidui. And the Gemara ends off by saying, ben kach hu ben kach meshamtinan le. Regardless, anyway, this mazik, we put him in nidui. Ben kach hu ben kach, whether he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael or he doesn't want. Which means, even in the case of the nizak agreed to go to Eretz Yisrael, we put the mazik in nidui. Why? Damrinan le salek hezekach. We tell him, you can't hold on to such an animal that is a dangerous mazik in your house. You have to remove it from your property, such a mazik. And if you don't remove it, we put you in nidui. Mide Rabbi Natan, because of the din that Rabbi Natan taught. The Tanya, we learned in a braita, Rabbi Natan omer, minayin shelo yigadel adam kelev ra betoch beto. From where do we learn that a person should not raise a vicious dog in his house? Velo ya'amid sulam ra'ua betoch beto. And a person should not place a ladder that is not steady, a shaky, a rickety ladder in his house. Sheneimar velo tasim damim bevetecha. It states in the Torah, a person should not place blood in his house, which means it's prohibited to leave something that is potentially dangerous in one's house. And one who refuses to remove it can be excommunicated based on the halakha of Rabbi Natan. That's how we end off. Hadran alach elu na'arot. We finish, we conclude Bezrat Hashem here, the third perek of Ketubot, and we begin the fourth perek. Na'ara shenitpateta. In a case of a young woman who was seduced. So, boshta upgama uknasa shel aviha. The compensation, the payments of boshta, her humiliation. And pegama, her devaluation, her degradation, uknasa, and the payment of the fine, shel aviha, belonged to the father, because she's a na'ara, vehatza'ar bitfusa. And the same applies to the compensation of pain, the payment of tza'ar, in the case of a woman who was tfusa. Tfusa is another word for saying anusa, which is raped. The payment of tza'ar goes to the father. Amda bedin ad shelo meta'av hare hen shel ha'av. If the young woman stood trial against the mefateh, the seducer, or the me'anes, the rapist, before the father died, so then hare hen shel ha'av. So the payments belong to the father, as we just stated. Met ha'av, however, let's say the father died before they had a chance to collect the money after the trial was done. Now, before collection, the father died. Harein shel achim, the payments go to the brothers, because the brothers are the inheritors of the father, and they inherit the money to which he was entitled right before he passed away. But lo hispika la'amod bedin ad shemetav. Let's say the father died before they even had a chance to stand trial. Harein shel atzma. So now the payments of compensation belong to her, because she's now under her own jurisdiction due to the fact that she no longer has a father, so the payments go to her. Amda bedin ad now, the Mishnah gives a different case. Amda bedin ad shelo bagra. If let's say she stood trial before she became a bogeret, while she was still a na'ara, harehin shel av, as we know, the father receives the payments while she's a na'ara, she's in under his jurisdiction. Met ha'av, if let's say after the trial, the father died before they were able to collect the money, harein shel achim, the payments go to the brothers who inherit the father. Lo hispika la'amod bedin ad shebagra. However, if let's say she became a bogeret, she became 12 and a half, a grown woman, before she stood trial. So that means at the time of ha'amada bedin, when she stood trial, she was already a bogeret, harein shel atzma. So now in this case, the money goes to herself, because once she's a bogeret, she goes out from the reshut of the father. The payments now belong to her. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Im lo yispika ligbot ad shemet ha'av, harehen shel atzma. Rabbi Shimon argues with Tanakama. Rabbi Shimon says, even if, let's say, she stood trial while the father was still alive, right? But she wasn't able to collect the payments before the father died. The father died before they were able to collect. According to Rabbi Shimon, we don't say it goes to the brothers. Harehen shel atzma. The brothers do not inherit the money. It belongs to her. Now, ma'aseyadeha umtziata regarding her earnings and any lost items that she found, afal pi shelo gavta, even though she has not collected them, which means she has yet to receive her wages, her earnings for her work, afal pi shelo gavta, metaav harehen shel aachim. If the father dies, it belongs to the brothers. These payments are considered the property of the father, and therefore he was entitled to them before he passed away, and the brothers inherit them.